Chapter 27. I think that anyone who will carefully examine the bylaws I have placed all of the important ones before the reader will arrive at the conclusion that of late years the master passion in Mrs. Eddy's heart is a hunger for power and glory, and that while her hunger for money still remains, she wants it now for the expansion and extension it can furnish to that power and glory, rather than what it can do for her towards satisfying minor and meaner ambitions. I wish to enlarge a little upon this matter. I think it is quite clear that the reason why Mrs. Eddy has concentrated in herself all powers, all distinctions, all revenues that are within the command of the Christian Science Church Universal is that she desires, and intends to devote them to the purpose just suggested, the upbuilding of her personal glory, hers, and no one else's, that, and the continuing of her name's glory, after she shall have passed away. If S.E. has overlooked a single power, howsoever minute, I cannot discover it. If S.E. has found one, large or small, which S.E. has not seized, and made her own, there is no record of it, no trace of it. In her foragings and depredations she usually puts forward the Mother Church, a lay figure, and hides behind it. Whereas, she is in manifest reality the Mother Church herself. It has an impressive array of officials, and committees, and boards of direction, of education, of lectureship, and so on, geldings, everyone, shadows, specters, apparitions, wax figures. She is supreme over them all, she can abolish them when she will, blow them out as she would a candle. She is herself the Mother Church. Now there is one bylaw which says that the Mother Church shall be officially controlled by no other church. That does not surprise us. We know by the rest of the bylaws that that is a quite irrelevant remark. Yet we do vaguely and hazily wonder why she takes the trouble to say it, why she wastes the words, what her object can be seeing that that emergency has been in so many, many ways, and so effectively and drastically barred off and made impossible. Then presently the object begins to dawn upon us. That is, it does after we have read the rest of the bylaw three or four times, wondering, and admiring to see Mrs. Eddy, of all persons, throwing away power, making a fair exchange, doing a fair thing for once more, an almost generous thing. Then we look it through yet once more unsatisfied, a little suspicious, and find that it is nothing but a sly, thin make-believe, and that even the very title of it is a sarcasm, and embodies a falsehood, self-government. Local self-government. The First Church of Christ, Scientist, in Boston, Massachusetts, shall assume no official control of other churches of this denomination. It shall be officially controlled by no other church. It has a most pious and deceptive give-and-take air of perfect fairness, unselfishness, magnanimity, almost godliness, indeed. But it is all art. In the bylaws, Mrs. Eddy, speaking by the mouth of her other self, the Mother Church, proclaims that she will assume no official control of other churches' branch churches. We examine the other bylaws, and they answer some important questions for us. 1. What is a branch church? It is a body of Christian Scientists, organized in the one and only permissible way by a member, in good standing, of the Mother Church, and who is also a pupil of one of Mrs. Eddy's accredited students. That is to say, one of her properties. No other can do it. There are other indispensable requisites. What are they? 2. The new church cannot enter upon its functions until its members have individually signed and pledged allegiance to a creed furnished by Mrs. Eddy. 3. They are obliged to study her books and order their lives by them. And they must read no outside religious works. 4. They must sing the hymns, and pray the prayers provided by her, and use no others in the services, except by her permission. 5. They cannot have preachers and pastors. Her law. 6. In their church they must have two readers, a man and a woman. 7. They must read the services framed and appointed by her. 8. She not the branch church appoints those readers. 9. She not the branch church dismisses them and fills the vacancies. 10. She can do this without consulting the branch church and without explaining. 11. The branch church can have a religious lecture from time to time by applying to Mrs. Eddy. There is no other way. 12. But the branch church cannot select the lecturer. Mrs. Eddy does it. 13. The branch church pays his fee. 14. The harnessing of all Christian Science wedding teams, members of the branch church, must be done by duly authorized and consecrated Christian Science functionaries. Her factory is the only one that makes and licenses them. 15. Nothing is said about christenings. It is inferable from this that a Christian Science child is born a Christian Scientist and requires no tinkering. 16. Nothing is said about funerals. It is inferable, then, that a branch church is privileged to do in that matter as it may choose.
To sum up, are any important church functions absent from the list? I cannot call any to mind. Are there any lacking ones whose exercise could make the branch in any noticeable way independent of the mother church, even in any trifling degree? I think of none. If the named functions were abolished, would there still be a church left? Would there be even a shadow of a church left? Would there be anything at all left? Even the bare name? Manifestly not. There isn't a single vital and essential church function of any kind that is not named in the list. And over every one of them the Mother Church has permanent and unchallengeable control. Upon every one of them Mrs. Eddy has set her irremovable grip. She holds, in perpetuity, autocratic and indisputable sovereignty and control over every branch church in the earth. And yet says, in that sugary, naive, angel-beguiling way of hers, that the Mother Church shall assume no official control of other churches of this denomination. Whereas in truth the unmeddled with liberties of a branch Christian Science church are but very, very few in number, and are these. 1. It can appoint its own furnace stoker, Winters. 2. It can appoint its own fan distributors, Summers. 3. It can, in accordance with its own choice in the matter, burn, bury, or preserve members who are pretending to be dead, whereas there is no such thing as death. 4. It can take up a collection. The branch churches have no important liberties, none that give them an important voice in their own affairs. Those are all locked up, and Mrs. Eddy has the key. Osel self-government is a large name and sounds well. But the branch churches have no more of it than have the privates and the king of Dahomey's army. Mother Church unique, Mrs. Eddy, with an envious and admiring eye upon the solitary and rivalous and world-shadowing majesty of St. Peter's, reveals in her by dash laws her purpose to set the Mother Church apart by itself in a stately seclusion and make it duplicate that lone sublimity under the western sky. The bylaw headed Other Church Unique A's, in its relation to other Christian Science churches, the Mother Church stands alone. It occupies a position that no other church can fill. Then for a branch church to assume such position would be disastrous to Christian Science. Therefore no branch church is allowed to have branches. There shall be no Christian Science St. Peter's in the earth, but just one, the Mother-Church in Boston. No first members, but for the thoughtful bylaw thus entitled, every science branch in the earth would imitate the Mother Church and set up an aristocracy. Every little group of ground floor Smiths and Fergusons and Shadwells and Simpsons that organized a branch would assume that great title of first members, along with its vast privileges of iscusing the weather and casting blank ballots, and soon there would be such a locust plague of them burdening the globe that the title would lose its value and have to be abolished. But where business and glory are concerned,
Mrs. Eddy thinks of everything, and so she did not fail to take care of her aborigines, her stately and exclusive 100, her College of Functionless Cardinals, her Sanhedrin of Privileged Talkers Limited, after taking away all the liberties of the branch churches, and in the same breath disclaiming all official control over their affairs, she smites them on the mouth with this, the very mouth that was watering for those knobby ground floor honors, no first members. Branch churches shall not organize with first members, that special method of organization being adapted to the mother-church alone. And so, first members being prohibited, we pierce through the cloud of Mrs. Eddy's English and perceive that they must then necessarily organize with subsequent members. There is no other way. It will occur to them by and by to found an aristocracy of early subsequent members. There is no bylaw against it. The I uncover to that imperial word, and to the mind too, that conceived the idea of seizing and monopolizing it as a title. I believe it is Mrs. Eddy's dazzlingest invention. For show, and style, and grandeur, and thunder and lightning, and fireworks, it outclasses all the previous inventions of man, and raises the limit on the Pope. He can never put his avid hand on that word of words. It is preempted. And copyrighted, of course. It lifts the Mother Church away up in the sky, and fellowships it with the rare, and select and exclusive little company of the of deathless glory persons and things whereof history, and the ages could furnish only single examples, not two. The Savior, the Virgin, the Milky Way, the Bible, the Earth, the Equator, the Devil, the Missing Link, and now the First Church, Scientist. And by clamor of edict, and by law, Mrs. Eddy gives personal notice to all branch scientist churches on this planet, to leave the tea alone. As he has demonstrated over it, and made it sacred to the Mother Church. The article the must not be used before the titles of branch churches, nor written on applications for membership in naming such churches. Those are the terms. There can and will be a million First Churches of Christ, Scientist, scattered over the world, in a million towns and villages and hamlets and cities, and each may call itself, suppressing the article, First Church of Christ, Scientist. It is permissible, and no harm, but there is only one, the Church of Christ, Scientist, and there will never be another. And whether that great word fall in the middle of a sentence, or at the beginning of it, it must always have its capital T. I do not suppose that a juvenile passion for fussy little worldly shows and vanities can furnish a match to this, anywhere in the history of the nursery. Mrs. Eddy does seem to be a shade fonder of little special distinctions and pomps than is usual with human beings. She instituted that immodesty with her own hand. She did not wait for somebody else to think of it. A life-term monopoly, there is but one human pastor in the whole Christian Science world. She reserves that exalted place to herself. A perpetual one, there is but one other object in the whole Christian Science world honored with that title and holding that office. It is her book, the Annex, permanent pastor of the First Church, and of all branch churches. With her own hand she drafted the bylaws which make her the only really absolute sovereign that lives today in Christendom. She does not allow any objectionable pictures to be exhibited in the room where her book is sold, nor any indulgence in idle gossip there, and from the general look of that bylaw I judge that a lightsome and improper person can be as uncomfortable in that place as he could be in heaven. The Sanctum Sanctorum and Sacred Chair, in a room in the First Church of Christ, Scientist, there is a museum of objects which have attained to holiness through contact with Mrs. Eddy, among them an electrically lighted oil picture of a chair which she used to sit in, and disciples from all about the world go softly in there, in restricted groups, under proper guard, and reverently gaze upon those relics. It is worship. Mrs. Eddy could stop it, if she was not fond of it, for her sovereignty over that temple is supreme. The fitting above that place as a shrine is not an accident, nor a casual, unweighed idea.
It is imitated from age-old religious custom, and grieves the pilgrim reverently gazes upon the seamless robe, and humbly worships, and does the same in that other continental church, where they keep a duplicate, and does likewise in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, in Jerusalem, where memorials of the crucifixion are preserved. And now, by good fortune we have our holy chair and things, and a market for our adorations near home. But is there not a detail that is new, fresh, original? Yes, whatever old thing Mrs. Eddy touches gets something new by the contact, something not thought of before by anyone, something original, all her own, and copyrightable. The new feature is self-worship exhibited in permitting this shrine to be installed during her lifetime, and winking her sacred eye at it. A prominent Christian scientist has assured me that the scientists do not worship Mrs. Eddy, and I think it likely that there may be five or six of Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.